news on CKNW 98 when it happens. Our next scheduled news at 10:30. I'm Drew Karakus.
Today, a difficult topic, a very difficult issue for families that deal with autism, autistic children. Sabrina Freeman is a parent of an autistic child and the director of Families for Early Autism Treatment. Good morning.
Hi.
What is autism?
Well, let me tell you what autism is through the life of a parent. You have a beautiful child that is born, and you have all these hopes and these dreams for this child. And at about 18 months of age, all of a sudden you start noticing that, indeed, the child's not learning language like the rest of the children. The child doesn't have eye contact with you. There's no affection. In fact, when you leave the room, the child doesn't even care or notice. The child seems to be in its own little world, and...
So this isn't just your child. This is
this is very common. Yeah. I mean, that's actually why the parents start to wonder. The child's not affectionate, doesn't like to be hugged, doesn't really care about hugs and kisses. And then you start to notice very strange behaviors that you don't see in normal children and that you've really never seen before.
What kind of things?
Well, they will be spinning. They'll spin for hours at a time, or they'll just flap their hands and run around and flap. And my particular child, she just sang 24 hours a day. I mean, they all have their own little rituals or behaviors that are very strange. And you as a parent, you look at this and you're looking at the other children and you're not quite sure, but something, you know something's up, but you don't know exactly what it is.
But at 18 months?
At 18 months. Now, some parents don't see it till the child's two. Anybody who really knows about the condition can probably pick it out at 16 months. And in fact, there's a very good diagnostic tool that takes 10 minutes in a physician's office that can basically diagnose the child.
Do we know what causes it?
No, we don't. There are lots of theories out there, but we really do not know what causes autism.
What help's available to families that are going through this? And how common is it?
It's about 1 in 1,000. And basically what happens is, if a child does not get treatment, the child at some point, it's a living nightmare, and the parent has no choice but to give the child up. And so then the child will go...
To where? To what?
Well, the child will go to a foster home, and the foster parent will get $30,000 a year at a minimum to take care of this child. But even a foster family can't handle it very often, so the child goes from foster family to foster family until eventually they're institutionalized as teenagers or adults. And that's
because they're seen as being major league behavioral problems.
Oh, huge problems.
Impossible for a teacher to deal with.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And very often impossible for a teacher, even in a segregated classroom, to deal with. And this is a child who's untreated. Now, they end up in institutionalized as adults, and that's a huge burden on society. It's very, very expensive. And the irony here is it's completely unnecessary. Let me tell you about what's going on in British Columbia, what the problem is. Okay, we have a system that was based on there being no treatment, because once upon a time there was no treatment. But now there is, and that system still persists. So you have a government who's pretending that there's no treatment because they really don't want to deal with the fact that there is, and it's going to cost some money. Now, we've spent 2 years trying to educate the government. We've sent them briefs. We have tried to meet with them. We've done everything we can to try to convince the government that this indeed is the right thing to do, and it's also going to be cheaper for them in the long run. But it's fallen on deaf ears, basically. They're simply ignoring us. Now, this particular treatment is actually endorsed by 63 licensed psychiatrists in British Columbia who believe very strongly that the government should be paying for this and that, in fact, it should be covered by MSP.
What is the treatment?
Well, the treatment is called LOVAS treatment. And basically what it is it's an intensive behavioral treatment that gives these children a chance at a normal life. Now, the research on this particular treatment shows that once treated, many, many of these children enter the school system and can go through the school system like all other children and end up graduating and basically holding down jobs and having a happy, normal life, paying taxes and complaining about the taxes just like the rest of us. I mean, and that's the goal. Now, this is what the evidence shows, but the government ignores, they simply choose to ignore this. And it's because of money. So basically what they've done is they put a price tag on our kids. Now, the irony here is that they're wrong, because they can save approximately $2 million over the life of an autistic person. Because remember, when an autistic person grows up, they live just as long as everybody else, yet they need 24-hour-a-day care.
How long has this treatment been available?
Well, it's been researched for the last 35 years at the University of California in Los Angeles, UCLA. But it really came out of the lab probably in 83. And so really since 1983, this method has been used quite widely in the United States.
Long enough for its success to be judged?
Oh, absolutely. There are studies. There's actually one very interesting study where they had They had a group of children who had this 40 hours a week, and a group of children who were just in the community getting what normally people would get, which actually in a British Columbia context was very generous. And after 2.5 years, 47% of these children actually lost the diagnosis of autism.
So not only were they helped, they appeared at least
to
be cured.
That's right.
Now, nearly half.
Yeah, nearly half. And then they went back to these same children when they were 11 and a half years old to see if indeed the gains had been made. And out of that 47%, only one child had basically regressed back to where you could call that child autistic, but that child was doing very, very well. Mainstreamed, had no problems, but you could still tell the child was a little different.
Your daughter's 10.
My child's 10.
And how long has your child had treatment?
We started quite late with her. We started when she was 4 years old, and I have to tell you, if I could have started at 2, I would give my right arm for that. But we started with her when she was 4, and now she's 10 years old, and she's completely mainstreamed in a normal school, and she has friends. She's very good in math and spelling and music and all these kind of things. And we still have problems with reading comprehension with her and language arts, but she talks now. She gets her needs met. I have a child. She connects. She hugs me. She loves me. She jumps into my bed every morning and cuddles me. I mean, I have a child. If I didn't have this treatment for my child, she would be spinning in a corner. And to be quite honest with you, she probably would not be living at home because I wouldn't have been able to cope.
But how have you managed financially? Because when you have to bear the cost personally, it's incredibly expensive.
That's right. Well,
$50,000 a year?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that much now. It's basically from age 2 to 5, that's where you're going to, that's where it's the most expensive.
But 50?
Yes, 50. It can be up to $50,000. That's right. Well, this is the problem, that you have 2% of the people who are wealthy who obviously can afford it, and then there's the rest of us. What do we do? Well, if you're a young couple and you don't have any equity, you don't have a house, you're out of luck. If you were, I was a little bit older, so I had a house, so I simply took the money out of the mortgage until there was no money left, and then I moved from a community where it was expensive, the housing, to a community where the housing was cheaper, and I begged, borrowed, and stole from my parents, and I have a huge loans. But I would do it again in a second because I have a child. Now, this is wrong. This is absolutely wrong that think about the absurdity. If your child has cancer and your child needs chemotherapy, your child gets it. You don't have to fundraise for chemotherapy. I know a mother who fundraises 4 times a year for this treatment. I know another dad who actually works as a paramedic. For 14 years, he's worked for the Ministry of Health as a paramedic. His child's just been diagnosed. He's thinking of moving to Alberta because he can't on a paramedic salary.